Mother's Day is filled with a lot of emotion. For some, it's a joyful time. And I hope that for the most of us, it's a joyful time. And for some, it's painful. Some people celebrate Mother's Day, celebrate their mother who loved faithfully. Some grieve mothers that have been lost or have been taken away in death. The person that I grieve the most over on Mother's Day is the one that friend of my wife's whose mother died in church on Mother's Day. I can't imagine dealing with that every year. But then there's others that grieve because of the wounds from the dysfunction that they experienced as a child. And then there's some that grieve because there's that longing to be a mother and unable to. Today we honor mom. We honor our moms who, with love and sacrifice and prayer, pour themselves and have poured themselves into their families. I believe that it's safe to say that a godly mother often reflects something of the heart of God. Patient love, persistent prayer, undeserved kindness, a longing for her children to come home. Can you see the comparison? And what we find in that, as we see that pictured in a godly mother and reflecting the heart of God, we see that really, really points us to the greater love of our Heavenly Father. And today we want to honor our moms, but it's also today about hearing the voice of God calling the wandering heart, back to Him. Because I believe that the greatest desire of a godly mother is not simply that her children succeed in life, but that they walk with God. You know very well the story of Luke chapter 15, the story that we know as the prodigal son. If you're not familiar with it, then I would encourage you to read it. Read it soon. In Luke's gospel, we find in the 15th chapter, Jesus tells the story of an individual who demanded his inheritance and he left home. Somewhere buried in his mind and in his thinking, he wanted freedom without authority. He wanted pleasure without responsibility. He was one of those that wanted to choose what to do, but didn't want to choose the consequence, or wanted also to choose. He wasn't willing to accept the consequences of that choice. He wanted blessing without relationship. Isn't that really the human condition? The fallenness of the human condition. Sin is not merely breaking of the rules, but sin is leaving Father's house. So we find in the story of the prodigal son that he represents all of humanity. The wandering, the rebelling, the seeking of fulfillment apart from God. We eventually discover that sin always, always overpromises and underdelivers. The older I get, the more I find that to be a reality. In watching people's lives, sin seems to always overpromise. While it may appear to be successful, it may appear to be pleasurable for a season, but in the end, it always, always under-delivers. In verse number 13 of that passage about the prodigal, we find that he wasted his possessions on reckless living. The word wasted should stand out in our thinking. Wasted. He wasted years. That's what sin does. It wastes years, and it wastes peace, and it wastes purity. It wastes families, and it wastes souls. That's the result of sin. Not just in the prodigal, but we find it as a result of every person's transgression in our generation and in our lives. Sin wastes. I know of far too many mothers who know the pain of watching children who are wandering spiritually. Some have prayed for years over their sons and daughters who have drifted away from God and have become in some way a prodigal away from the father who they had been raised to love and to serve. And it's possible to look successful outwardly, but inwardly the reality is nothing more, nothing less than spiritual poverty. The prodigal that we find in Luke chapter 15 reached a point where he was feeding the pigs. And in that time of feeding the pigs, he was also wishing that he could eat some of their food because he was so famished. You see, what we find in that particular phrasing, in that particular part of the story, is that sin had taken him further than what he had ever intended to go. And that is exactly where rebellion against God will take anyone. Further than where they wanted to go. You may not like, or an individual may not like, the use of the word of rebellion as though what they are doing is less than rebellion. And so you could even realize that even so much as a dismissal of the claims of Christ will lead to the same low position of spiritual poverty. You may not like the word rebellion, but dismissal of the claims of Christ is essentially the same thing as rebellion. See, people want God's blessings without surrendering to His will. Real peace will only come through repentance. One of the most powerful lines in that particular story about the prodigal son is found in verse number 17, where Luke records when he came to himself. And actually, there's a word that starts that phrase that I think transitions the entire picture into the next picture, and that is the word but. But when he came to himself. You see, the son realized at that moment that he was lost, realized that he had sinned. He also realized that he could not save himself, and life apart from the Father was essentially the same as death. Real repentance is more than emotion. Real repentance is more than guilt. Real repentance is more than just being sorry about the consequences. Biblical repentance means turning from sin, humbling ourselves before God, returning to Him in surrender. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 records for us the words that surely should stand in our way as a person would try to run from the presence of God and flee out into the desert areas of life to waste their substance. Isaiah said, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways." God does not merely invite improvement, he calls for surrender. God does not merely invite you to improvement, but he calls for surrender. Let me come back to Mother's Day for a moment. Mother's Day is made more beautiful because of the faithful mothers who have often become instruments God uses to call people, wandering people home. The memory of that open Bible on the kitchen table, or the memory of the prayer that was prayed in the late night hours, or the tears over the soul, or the faith of that mother when you had none. The call of that memory, Mom. But even the prayers of a godly mother cannot substitute for personal repentance. Every person must personally come to the Father. I imagine that as that prodigal son was walking toward home that day after he had come to himself, his senses had returned to him. As he was walking toward home, even in the midst of all of the self-doubt that was badgering his mind in every step of that journey back home, he had to rehearse his speech, continually rehearse his speech. Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. We notice in that part of the story that the prodigal in his return to the Father did not make excuse for his sin. He did not blame society for his sin. He did not even justify his rebellion in the first place. If that was the end of the story, it would be a tragic end of the story. But the delight of the story is that in the next scene, we find the father running to that wayward son. Running to him. You see, that is to give us the heart of God toward every repentant sinner. Through Jesus Christ, forgiveness and restoration is available to everyone who comes to him with sincerity. In case you didn't know, or perhaps you knew but you've forgotten, let me give you some things about somebody who has wandered away and is straying from God's presence. No one is too far gone. No addiction is too strong. No failure is beyond his grace. No wandering soul is beyond the reach of God the Father. Did you hear me say earlier that godly mothers reflect the heart of God? It's possible this morning that somebody is listening who has wandered. It's certainly likely that there are some mothers who are here today that are praying for that wandering child. Whether somebody has gone far from God or has grown simply spiritually cold, the Father welcomes the repentant sinner home through Christ and through what Christ did on Calvary. So whoever's listening today, come home. The cry of the mother, the cry of the Heavenly Father is to bring restoration, is to bring forgiveness, to shower with love. Thank God. Thank God for His plan and provision of salvation. Thank God for godly moms who have stood in the gap and made up the hedge for you and for me. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know if it's needed this morning to open the altar, to make you aware of the altar, but if somebody needs to pray this morning, we'd be happy to pray with you. Our Father, I thank you this morning for the gift of our moms. I thank you for every example of sacrificial love that reflects your heart through their love. I pray, Father, that you would draw wandering hearts home today. Even those who may not be here this morning. I pray that you would break pride. I pray that you would soften hardened hearts. That you would lead us to true repentance. Pray that you would restore families. That you would strengthen godly moms. And save the wandering child today. Be faithful to their soul and speak to them. Now as we leave this sanctuary, I pray for your blessing as we go, your presence as we go. And as we celebrate our mothers in some way this afternoon, I pray for your divine blessing, especially a special encouragement to our godly moms who have lived faithfully your love, reflecting your love to their children. And those that don't have or haven't had a mom of that sort, I pray that you would enfold them and help them, bless them with your comfort and your presence and your love. All the moms that are represented here in this service this morning, give them courage and strength and the determination to be the godly mom that you are calling them to be, to reflect God's love to their children. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.